Hello everybody. This is the translation of the message for Sunday, the 21st of September. Psalm 71. Today I want to focus with you on a psalm. I say focus because we often read the psalms verse after verse. We continue and many riches escape us. Worse, we sometimes have the impression of reading almost the same thing every time, the same words, the same themes. We get used to it and no longer pay attention. Hence, today, a slightly different approach, a reading a little more focused on the text itself, the words, the structure. The Bible is a collection of 66 books of different genre. The books of the law, historical books, poetic books, etc. And even within the same biblical book, we find different literary genres. For example, in 2 Samuel, there is the history of the nation and its kings, the story of David's family life, list of names of David's collaborators, which could be quite boring for us, and in 2 Samuel chapter 22, we find a poetic text taken from the book of Psalms, number 18, etc. Many different literary genres which cannot be read in the same way, otherwise we would understand nothing. We would derive no benefit from them. And even in the book of Psalms we find different genres such as psalms of praise and lament, psalms that tell the story of the nation or that of a person. Moreover, we often find a mixture of genres, where in the same psalm there is a part that tells a story, then a part that is more of a prayer. The psalm we are going to read today is an example of this blend. It contains prayer and praise, a little bit of narrative, the story of a life. Here too, there is an alternation, as in prayer, between an exposition of the situation, a description of feelings, a request for help, and a declaration of trust. It is a dialogue, even if God's response is not written. David is speaking to someone who is listening to him. It is important to read the psalm as if we were witnesses to this dialogue. We are present, as silent listeners. Let us begin by reading the entire psalm. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. In your justice, rescue and deliver me. Incline your ear and save me. Be my rock of refuge where I can always go. Give the command and save me, for you are my rock and my fortress. Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and ruthless. For you are my hope, O Lord God, my confidence from my youth. I have leaned on you since birth. You pulled me from my mother's womb. My praise is always for you. I have become a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. My mouth is filled with your praise and with your splendour all day long. Do not discard me in my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life conspire, saying, God has forsaken him, pursue him and seize him, for there is no one to rescue him. Be not far from me, O God, hurry, O my God, to help me. May the accusers of my soul be ashamed and consumed. May those who seek my harm be covered with scorn and disgrace. But I will always hope and will praise you more and more. My mouth will declare your righteousness and your salvation all day long, though I cannot know their full measure. I will come in the strength of the Lord God. I will proclaim your righteousness, yours alone. O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I proclaim your marvellous deeds. Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, until I proclaim your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come. Your righteousness reaches to the heavens, O God, you who have done great things. Who, O God, is like you? Though you have shown me many troubles and misfortunes, you will revive me once again. Even from the depths of the earth you will bring me back up. You will increase my honour and comfort me once again. So I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. When I sing praise to you, my lips will shout for joy along with my soul, which you have redeemed. My tongue will indeed proclaim your righteousness all day long, for those who seek my harm are disgraced and confounded. A refrain. As I told you in the introduction, we sometimes have the impression that the Psalms sound alike, repeating the same thing. Sometimes this is truly the case. Here we have a blatant example of repetition. Verses 1 to 3 of our Psalm 71 are almost literally the same as the first three verses of Psalm 31. To the choir master, a Psalm of David. Psalm 31, verses 1 to 3. In you, O Lord, I have taken refuge. Let me never be put to shame. Save me by your righteousness. Incline your ear to me. Come quickly to my rescue. Be my rock of refuge. Be my rock of refuge, the stronghold of my deliverance. For you are my rock and my fortress. Lead me and guide me for the sake of your name. In other psalms, one or the other of these verses recur. I take refuge in you at least 9 times. My fortress at least 10 times. My liberator 4 times. And we shouldn't be surprised. For isn't it the same in our prayers? Don't we also have a refrain? Of course, we're not used to analysing our prayers, but I bet it wouldn't take much time to think about it to find your refrain, a phrase, an expression that often recurs in your prayers. As with David at the beginning or end of a prayer time, like a ritual, one or more phrases. Sometimes it's a particular concern, a worry, that will be present in your prayers, at least for a while. Why not? Life isn't a long, calm river. Sometimes there are big waves that overwhelm us, while at other times, more or less long, there is boredom, weariness, nothing happens. Whether it's worries or, on the contrary, boredom, this creates a certain repetition in our prayer time, the same words, the same phrases. Try to find what comes up in your prayers and seek to understand what it really expresses. For more, it was a recurring question. And now what to do? How to do it? What next? When I analyse my refrain, I see that it's a worry for the near future, a worry that many times stems from the fact that I rush ahead, I make my decisions, I act, and when things no longer progress as I had hoped, I express this refrain in my prayer. Except that I realise that instead of rushing ahead, I should first seek the Lord's advice. Like David, several times in the books of the prophet Samuel, we read that David consulted the Lord with this question. Should I go and attack the Philistines? Ah, how many Philistine problems I have started fighting instead of first seeking the Lord's advice, letting him guide me. Many times my path could have been simpler. So analysing my refrain made me change course. Perhaps your refrain is very good, but perhaps it also expresses something that deserves reflection or even a change of attitude. I hope you will take the time to discover your refrain, then analyse it, and perhaps it is time to change your refrain. A refrain which we repeat, certainly, but which we express to someone we hope will listen. Verse 2 says, incline your ear to me. And sometimes the refrain gives rise to an inaudible response, an inner response that lets us know we have been heard. In my case, it was, why are you worried? a response that invites dialogue and also guides our introspection to see more clearly what preoccupies or bothers us so much. Look at your refrain and observe the response you receive. The time of life. By the way, I don't know if you've noticed, but in this psalm, David alludes to time, the passing of time, the span of a lifetime, of his life. In verse 5, he speaks of his youth. In verse 6, of his birth. My trust has been in you from my youth. From my mother's womb I have leaned on you. It was you who brought me forth from my mother's breast. And further on in verse 17, O God, you have taught me from my youth. But in verse 18 we read, Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, O God. It is a constant in the Psalms, and I think also in our prayers, to remember what God has already done for us, and to this is automatically added confidence for the future, for what he will still do. Even if we don't see the way out, the solution, not yet. The Lord sees beyond our horizon and acts. He's always acted, and he will act again, and you will be amazed again. Context. David wrote this psalm in a perilous situation. Some commentators think of David's flight from Saul, but he was still very young at the time. Other commentators link this psalm to David's flight from his son Absalom, who tried to steal his place as king. This son, Absalom, killed his brother Amnon, David's eldest son, the one who should succeed him as king. This wasn't the motive for the murder, but it doesn't matter to us in the context of Psalm 71. David resented Absalom for this murder and he fled. He stayed away from Jerusalem for 3 years, and once he returned to the city, it took David another 2 years before he wanted to meet him again. But Absalom was growing impatient. He was now the eldest son, and he aspired to take his father's place, the king's throne. He went so far as to proclaim himself king and launch a military expedition against David, his father. But Absalom was ultimately killed in this battle. David certainly had his share of difficulties, so much for context. David is already of a certain age. He has grown children, including the youngest, who at one point also wants to take his life, hence this feeling of being threatened and very weak. Verse 9, Do not discard me in my old age. Do not forsake me when my strength fails. This helps us understand the repetition of his refrain, already read in Psalm 31, which I paraphrase. Lord, incline your ear, deliver me, spare me shame. Be my refuge and my fortress for your name's sake, because you have committed yourself to me as my saviour. And I want to add, forever. As verses 20 and 21 imply, though you have shown me many troubles and misfortunes, you will revive me once again. Even from the depths of the earth you will bring me back up. You will increase my honour and comfort me once again. Increase my glory, other translations say. You will restore my honour. This honour is lacking because of the odious behaviour of his son Absalom, his enemies. The enemies. Now let's also look at his description of the ones who threaten him. Verse 4, Deliver me, O my God, from the hand of the wicked, from the grasp of the unjust and ruthless. The word for wicked can also be translated as criminal. This is not simply someone who threatens, but someone who has already committed a crime. The unjust or the wicked are those who act falsely without justification. Not according to the normal order of things. The bitter. This is literally the one who sees red. The one who oppresses and exercises violence against others because of their own feelings. Later in Psalm 71, we read further descriptions of David's enemies. Verse 10. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait for my life conspire. And conspiracy. Not one man against another, but a multitude against him. This is typical of any man or woman in a position of power. No matter the motive, valid or not, there is always a form of jealousy, the desire to take their place, or even to make them lose their place, and sometimes a whole host of judgments, without ever asking how one would or would have done in their place. And then also extrapolations, speculations, intentions that one supposedly reveals to them. Stars, whether in television, music or film, we adore them. People who are prominent in society because of their responsibilities are spied on, watched, and searched for weaknesses. But what should not be the attitude of a Christian towards those in power? Paul says to pray for them. What is your attitude towards those in power? In society, in politics, at work, the boss, the chief, the CEO? What is your view, your feelings toward them, these others? The view of others. Another verse where David speaks of others, of those who observe him. Verse 7. I have become a portent to many, but you are my strong refuge. Others look at David as a strange character. They find in David an object, a subject of astonishment. This little shepherd boy who came from nowhere, the youngest of his siblings, what is happening to him? They are observing him. Do you feel observed? What do others think of you? This is a question that concerns many people. For my part, my mother always told me, be careful what others think of you. I've since understood that others think what they want. We can't put good opinions about us into their heads. We can just pretend so they get a good impression. But what others think, well, it's their problem, not mine. Like David, I prefer to focus, to rely on the one I observe, the Lord. To say like David, you are my powerful shelter. I don't depend on what people think of me, but my life, my strength, my joy, my hope, all depend on what you are and on what I think of you, my Lord. You are my powerful shelter. Whereas the thoughts of others are only a powerful means to demoralize me. Think about it. Reaction to adversity. David is not fooled. He knows the thoughts of his adversaries. Verses 10 to 13. For my enemies speak against me, and those who lie in wait my life conspire, saying, God has forsaken him. Pursue him and seize him, for there is no one to rescue him. Yet David does not seek confrontation, does not seek to defend himself, but calls on God for help. Be not far from me, O God. Hurry, O my God, to help me. May the accusers of my soul be ashamed and consumed. May those who seek my harm be covered with scorn and disgrace. A fine example of good contact in adversity. Dialogue with the enemy often has little chance of leading to a better understanding. The best thing is to address the Lord directly, imploring his protection. After all, David has just repeated it, you are my refuge, my fortress. At the beginning of the psalm, he asks not to be found covered in shame. In his prayer later in the psalm, he asked the Lord to let shame rest on those who wish him harm, who speak evil of him. David is in a strange, very uncomfortable position. But rather than trying to rid himself of his detractors, he seeks to draw closer to the Lord, and he leaves it to him to take care of the fate of his adversaries. How much time do we spend defending ourselves, trying to be right, when the simpler thing would be to rely on the Lord and change our minds? Two facets in balance. So far, we have only looked at the negative side of David's prayer, the cry for help. But there are at least the same number of verses in this psalm which are neither more nor less praise. Let's look together. Verse 8. David has just said that God is his powerful refuge, and he adds, "Let my mouth be filled with your praise, with your splendour, all the day long." This is after this verse where he has just described his enemies. Then he expresses again his trust in the Lord to put his adversaries to shame, and he adds, verses 14 and 15, "But I will always hope and will praise you more and more. My mouth will declare your righteousness and your salvation all day long, though I cannot know their full measure. I will hope, my mouth will tell," future tense. For his adversaries have not yet been put to shame, David expresses his faith. There is an alternation in the verses between the description of his adversaries, the fear this engenders in David, and the praise, the confidence, alternating between looking to the future and remembering the past. This is what generates praise. Verse 19. "Your righteousness reaches to the heavens, O God. You who have done great things, who, O God, is like you?" Who is like you? Fortunately, David doesn't have Alzheimer's or something like that which would cause him to lose his memory. He still relies on his God, who has always been faithful. And David adds in verses 22 and 23, "So I will praise you with the harp for your faithfulness, O my God. I will sing praise to you with the lyre, O Holy One of Israel. When I sing praise to you, my lips will shout for joy along with my soul, which you have redeemed. I will praise you again." God in action. One last step in our slightly more literary, textual perspective. What are the acts of God that David hopes for? What are the verbs used to describe what he believes his Lord can do? Verse 2. "In your righteousness deliver me and set me free. Incline your ear to me and save me." Listen, save, deliver. Verse 6. "You brought me forth from the womb. He gives birth. "No, my life, your life, is not just the result of chance, a meeting between an egg and a sperm. As David writes in Psalm 139, "God knew us before our birth. He already knew all our days, and he acts throughout our lives." David counts on this. Verse 9, "Do not abandon me." Verse 12, "Do not depart." He expresses his faith. And us? Do we have this confidence? Remember, David in this psalm oscillates between the description of his misfortune and the expression of his faith, between the actions and attitudes of his adversaries and the actions and attitudes of his God. It is a psalm that describes life, real life, a psalm that expresses suffering and resilience, a psalm that articulates the gaze around us with a gaze higher than ourselves. Calvin wrote, "The faithful, by the very account they give of their troubles before God, are strengthened in the hope of being delivered." Our psalm leads to spiritual perseverance. David remembers that God taught him. Verse 17, "O God, you have taught me from my youth, and to this day I proclaim your marvellous deeds." And in turn, he wants to teach the younger ones. Verse 18, "Even when I am old and grey, do not forsake me, O God, until I proclaim your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." David perseveres, and this psalm can serve as a model for us to do the same. Not to announce to the youngest in the faith how difficult the path can be, but to announce how the attitude and actions of the Lord sustain us, give us strength, and lead us to do this. Verse 14, "And I will always hope, I will praise you more and more." Knowing that, as Paul writes to the Romans, chapter 8, verse 28, "All things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." And that, verse 37, "In all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us, and that nothing verse 39, will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.